Welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns, the first Old Time Radio Daily Western podcast that brings you a show from the 1930s through the 1960s. I'm your host, Andrew Ryans, and today is March 24th, 2010. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any shopping online, go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon. Again, that's otrwesterns.com/Amazon to start your shopping experience today. We have two episodes of Challenge of the Yukon today. First one's air date, original air date, was January 6, 1944, and the second one was January 13, 1944. The titles are Revenge in the Yukon and Forgery and Murder. So, I hope you guys enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side.
The Challenge of the Yukon. A king, a new husky. King, the swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. The sweating bartender at the Black Crow Cafe worked hurriedly, filling and refilling glasses for the men shouting at him from all sides. The room was warm and crowded, thick with raucous laughter and the heavy voices of miners just in from the creek beds. At the far end of the bar, Les Peterson stood talking to a tall, thin man dressed as a prospector, a man you'd notice in any crowd. The left side of his face was marked with a jagged scar that distorted his features, giving him an unpleasant, sneering expression.
Hey, you had mighty unusual luck, didn't you, mister? Ain't many men strike it rich so soon.
I've been lucky all my life. Friends used to call me Lucky Wally. Come out to the claim sometime.
Yeah, I'll do that.
The only time I see a white man to talk to is when I come in here. Well, so long, old
man. Yeah. Red, fix me up another one, will you?
Well, I thought I'd find you here, Les.
Hi there, Sergeant. See, you got King right with you. How are you, boy, huh?
Yeah, it's a great dog.
Hey, you bet he is, Les. Worth twice his weight in gold.
Yeah, see, Doc? I'm supposed to meet him here for a game of poker.
I was talking to him earlier this evening. He said he'd be here.
Well, he's late as usual. He's a funny guy, Sergeant.
Oh, Doc?
Yeah, I've known him for almost 2 years now. And all I can say about him, he's a sawbones. He sure don't talk much about himself.
No, he doesn't. I saw him operate once under almost impossible conditions. Pulled the patient through, too. He's a fine doctor, Les. But then every man's business is his own.
As long as he keeps it on the right side of the law. Speak of it. Here he comes now. Hey, Doc, over here. I got a feeling this is my lucky night, Sergeant.
Well, that means you think you have a chance of winning back some of that gold that's gone into Doc's pocket, I suppose.
I don't think it. I know it.
Sorry if I kept you waiting, Les. Hello, Sergeant.
How are you, Doc?
Fine.
You always keep me waiting, so don't make it sound unusual. Have a drink.
That's what I'm here for.
Red! Hey, Red! Well, you have to wave a flag to get his attention tonight.
It's crowded, all right.
Here you are, Doc.
Oh, thanks, Red. What about you, Sergeant?
No, nothing for me, thanks.
Well, you know the Mounties, Doc. Always on duty. I'm telling you, I don't know how they stand it.
Well, being a drinking man, it would be a little hard for you to understand, Les.
Les thinks he's going to clean out your pockets tonight, Doc.
Yes?
Yes, sirree. I feel lucky tonight. Now, come on. Let's get this table over here before someone else spots you. Wait till I get the deck out. Say, oh, that's funny.
Hmm? What?
Me making that crack that I felt like this is my lucky night.
Les, your luck never changes. You should know that by this time.
No, I'm serious. While I was standing here waiting for Doc, a tall, skinny fellow was next to me. I noticed him because the scar on his left cheek, mean-looking thing, pulled his whole face off balance.
On his left.
Yeah. Says he's got a claim staked this side of Birch Creek.
Yes?
Well, we got talking. He was telling me how he got his claim staked. Seems like he's only been here a short time. I told him he was mighty lucky striking it. He said he'd always been lucky. Said his friends call him Lucky Wally. Maybe I just got luck on the brain. I hope some of his brushes off of me.
What did you say his friends call him?
Lucky Wally. Hi, what's wrong, Doc? You look like you'd seen a ghost, you know?
Hmm? Oh, know him? Well, you meet lots of people, Lance. Where is he staked?
This side of Birch Creek.
How long ago did you see him?
Oh, not so long. Oh, what's wrong, Doc? It was white as snow.
Lance, I wonder if you'd mind if we make this game for tomorrow night.
Huh?
His luck might be changed then.
I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute.
He can't hear you, Les.
How do you like that? We're just sitting here. I'm even cutting the deck. He gets up and walks out.
Hmm.
Well, it don't make sense. I can't say anything to make him mad. He's an even-tempered gent. He sure had a funny look in his face when he pushed that chair back.
Yes. I wonder.
Might as well have another drink, I guess.
It's a slim hunch.
What?
Doc was ready enough for that poker game before you mentioned that man you'd been talking to at the bar.
You mean the fellow that called himself Lucky Wally?
That's right, the man with the scar.
Oh, that's what I thought. Doc looked like he'd seen somebody come back from the dead. Like he couldn't believe it. Yet he hoped it was right.
Where'd you say that man is staked?
A Birch Creek. Why?
I'm going out there. Good night, Les. Come on, King.
First, Doc, and now you. Hey, Red, give me another drink.
I'll have to make good time, King. I've seen the look in Doc's eyes and other men. Men bent on murder.
The lights from the cafe spilled on the snow as Sergeant Preston ejected his parka against the bitting cold of the penetrating wind.
Get the dogs up, King. On, King! On, you huskies!
King ran ahead of the pack, never once losing the trail, though it was hidden from Preston's eyes by darkness. The sled covered the miles, nearer and nearer to Birch Creek.
There it is, boy, ahead. Lights from the cabin. I wonder if we're only in time. Oh, King! Oh, you huskies!
We'll leave the sled here in the shadows of the camp. Someone else had the same idea. All right, fella.
So you finally came. Oh, Sergeant Preston, how did you...
Mind if I come in, Doc?
No. Who are you looking for?
I found the man I'm looking for.
What do you mean? I
thought so. A gun, huh? Yours, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
When you left the cafe tonight, you had a look in your eyes I've seen before. You know, I've been a policeman for a long time. Suppose you tell me why you want to kill this Lucky Wally.
How'd you know?
Well, there's no time to waste. He may be back any minute.
All right, sit down, Sergeant. I will tell you. But I'm going through with it. You're not going to stop me.
How long have you known him?
I knew him back in the States. Goes back almost 15 years ago.
Yes?
Wally was an only child. The only grandchild of Mrs. McCready. Mrs. Randolph McCready. He was just a kid when I first met him. But even then, you could see that selfish greediness in his eyes. And as he grew up, his greed and his recklessness grew with him. I won't burden you with details, Sergeant. I was Mrs. McCready's physician.
His mother and father?
Both of them died when he was a baby. She doted on him, spoiled him, gave him everything he wanted. She had a bad heart. Perhaps you heard of the scandal that broke 3 years ago when she died suddenly.
Yes. The McCready Emerald was stolen at the time of her death. Never been discovered. It was...
Yes, it was murder. I was blamed for the murder because of the sleeping tablets I gave her caused the death. Wally had done it. Mrs. McCready had been very kind to me. Put me through medical school when I was a boy, as a matter of fact. I think he was afraid she might leave some of her money to me. But that was ridiculous.
I know you were completely exonerated in the trial.
You knew that. But you never said anything.
Why should I? Man's past is his own.
Well, it ruined me. My practice fell to nothing as a result of the publicity. I'd heard Wally speak of the Yukon many times. And I knew that someday he'd come up here. Well, that's why I came here.
He's guilty of murder.
It's never been proved.
And the emerald?
I'm convinced that he has it. He'd never dare sell it. At least not for another few years.
I see.
I swore I'd get him, Sergeant. No matter how long I waited, no matter how far I had to go, I knew someday I'd meet him again.
You can't take the law into your own hands.
I can make him pay for murdering the woman who was like a mother to me, and he will pay.
He's already a murderer. Killing him will make you one.
There's no other way.
Yes, there is another way. Another way that you can perhaps have him jailed for the murder he committed.
I know what I'm doing, Sergeant. And I won't let anything stand in my way.
Listen to me, Doc. You mustn't let your desire for revenge blind you. Now listen to my plan. You'll come back to the cabin and find you here. Doc, you'll just shoot out.
The hours dragged on while Doc sat in the lonely cabin waiting for Wally McCready to return. King waited with him, listening.
So he's coming. All right, King, we're ready for him.
What the...
Come on in, Wally, and shut the door.
You... How'd you...
You look surprised. I made myself at home. Here, sit down and have some tea. It'll warm you up.
I am surprised. You're the last person I'd expect to meet up here, McGregor.
Why not up here? It's as good as any place else. Especially when you're a ruined man.
Oh, you're thinking of...
Yes, the trial. Of course, you don't remember it.
Well, I read about it, all right. They freed you. Never proved who killed the old lady, did they?
They know the man who killed her made off with the emerald.
Yeah. That's interesting, Doc. Well, I'll say this much for you. You make a good cup of tea.
Glad you like it.
What are you up here for? Gold?
No. No, I came here because I knew sooner or later you would.
Me?
That's right. You always wanted to come up here and try that luck of yours.
And it's still holding out, too. Oh, I struck a claim to knock your eyes out. And it's all mine, every bit of it. Yeah, it's too bad you didn't have some of my luck, Doc. You could have used it.
I'm satisfied.
What are you looking at?
You? I'm wondering how long it'll be before you start feeling dizzy and sleepy.
Before I...
That tea you drank, Wally.
What's wrong with it?
It was a good enough way for your grandmother to die. It ought to be good enough for you.
You poisoned me.
I've waited a long time for this, and you walked right into it.
Oh, no, I can't be.
Your feet. They'll start to get numb soon.
Listen, I drank it. I drank all of it.
It'll be painless, just like going to sleep. Only you'll never wake up. You don't deserve to die painlessly.
You gotta save me. I tell you, I'll turn the whole claim over to you.
You're beginning to feel it, huh? Beginning to get dizzy?
The whole claim, every bit of gold, and it's all yours. There's something that'll save me. I know there is. I remember.
I don't want your gold.
I am beginning to get dizzy. My head. Now,
I'm leaving you, Wally.
No, don't go. What do you want? Name your own price. Anything you say, you can save me, can't you?
Yes, in my bag out on the sled, I have the antidote.
Oh, bring it in. Anything you want. I'll sign all of mine over to you. I'll do anything you say. But hurry.
There's only one thing I want.
Well, what is it? Quick, what is it?
The emerald. The emerald, Wally. That's what I want.
The emerald?
Yes. You took it from the safe. You've kept it with you all these years, haven't you?
All right, it's yours.
I want it in my hands.
But, well, get that stuff before it's too late.
You have a few more minutes. Get the emerald.
Here. It's in this pouch around my neck. Take it.
Oh, I was right. You did it because she suspected you'd been taking me from the stage.
Yes. Now you have it. Now get that stuff.
You're under arrest.
What?
You did a great job, Doc.
Well, there's nothing to it, Sergeant.
He's poisoned me. I tell you, I'll die if he doesn't.
You'll die, all right. But it'll be with a rope around your neck and not a pouch containing the McCready emerald.
Oh, no, you don't understand.
There was nothing in that tea, Wally.
What? You mean you... You lied to me. It was a trick.
Yes, it was a trick. I had planned to kill you. But Sergeant Preston changed my mind. I knew you murdered your grandmother, but I had to have proof.
Put these handcuffs on him, Doc. We'll take him back to Fort Munn tonight.
All right. I know when I'm licked.
Why did you insist King stay in this room with me, Sergeant?
I was afraid Wally might pull a gun on you. King's used to handling a situation like that. I did it more to protect you than anything else. This arrest and your part in it, Doc, should wipe away all the unfavorable publicity you had as a result of the trial. Be able to go back to the States and take the place you deserve.
I'll never be able to thank you.
Yes, King?
The case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, is brought to you each week at this same time and originates in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. All characters, names, places, and incidents used in this drama are purely fictitious. Bob Hite speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
The Challenge of the Yukon. King, the swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. The cafe was warm and crowded, full of men who smelled strongly of the mixture of whiskey and tobacco. Men who'd come to the cafe to drink, swap stories, and to lose over a deck of cards the gold they'd panned in the rich Yukon creek beds. Dirk Malone contrasted sharply with the heavy-set prospectors who lined the bar. His eyes were close and narrow, his hands uncalloused. To look at him was to recognize a gambler.
All right, so I've had a streak of bad luck.
Yeah, a long streak. Don't forget that, Malone. That's $10,000 you owe me.
I'll pay it.
You'll pay it, I'll see to that. But I want it now.
I don't have it now.
Well, ain't that too bad? I'll give you a week's time and no more. You'd have been better off if you'd have stayed up at the Clay Five mine with your old man instead of moving into town.
Me be a miner? Don't make me laugh. Any day I'd break my back swinging a pick. Well, that's why I left the place. No excitement.
The kind of gold he's pulling out of that mine, I'd have stuck. Your sister Molly's got the right idea.
Ah, Molly's a soft-hearted fool. She'd stick by the old man if he didn't have a nugget.
Maybe so. But she's a lot smarter than you are. Someday that mine's going to be hers. You mark my words. And you being a half-brother ain't going to make any difference either. You hear what I said?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard what you said.
Of course, there are ways of making sure that don't happen.
Funny, the way our minds seem to run in the same direction.
It's a mighty rich strike. Too rich to let slip through your fingers.
I'm listening.
Now, if you owned the clay pipe, or a third of the mine, I might be willing to forget that streak of bad luck you've been having.
I should have thought of this before. Instead of begging for gold a bit at a time.
You can depend on this much. He'll never leave you any. You've been too much of a headache to him all along.
He always thought more of Molly anyway. Mac, you come out to the cabin with me tomorrow. We leave in the morning. You just do what I tell you, and you'll own a third of the clay pipe mine.
Oh, Dirk, when are you going to get some sense?
Now, listen. Let's not go into that again. I didn't come up here to argue with you.
No, not with me. You'd more than likely come up to argue Dad out of some more gold.
I came up because I wanted to see him, that's all.
You came up to see him.
You never did believe me. That's what comes of being the black sheep of the family. I don't need money, see?
You're always in debt. You never come up unless it's to beg him to get you out of trouble. Only this time I'm warning you. You won't get anything out of him.
I don't want anything, I tell you. Where is he now?
Down at the mine.
Yeah, I know. Works the mine during the day and reads at night. Doesn't even have any new books around.
Too bad you didn't bring some supplies with you. Could have saved him a trip to town.
Huh?
You didn't even hear me. I said it's too bad you didn't bring some supplies with you. You'd save Dad a trip to town tomorrow.
Oh. He's going in tomorrow, eh? Well, that's fine. Just fine. Mac and me will ride back with him. That is, if we can bunk here on the floor tonight. Going back to town tomorrow just fits in with my plans.
Sergeant Preston of the Mounted Police urged his team over the trail toward Claiborne. The merciless wind bit into the Mountie sharply, while King, his lead dog, ran ahead of the pack, breaking a trail through the heavily falling snow.
On King! On you, Husky! Another half hour and we'll be in town, boy. Well, it'll be good to get out of this storm. King! What's the matter, boy, huh? How are you, Husky? How? What is it, fella, huh? Can't see in the snow. All right, King, you lead the way. I'm nuzzling around the snow. I wonder if might someone fallen in the snow. Wait a minute. Why, it's Pat Malone. Shot. Shot in the back. Yes, King. He's dead. But who could have done it? The snow's covered all tracks. Well, we're closer to town than we are to this cabin. Now lift him. This is going to be bad news for Molly. And as for Dirk, well, we've got a real job ahead of us, King. We've got to find the man who shot Pat Malone.
Malone. Hey, wasn't that Sergeant Preston you were talking to?
Yeah. I thought you were going to meet me at the hotel 15 minutes ago.
I got held up over at the cafe. What did he have to say?
He found the old man.
Of all the times for him to hit Claiborne.
Of all times for you not to be with me. You fool. I needed you to back up my story.
What did you tell him?
We came into town together and left him at the general store.
You didn't mention the deed, huh?
What do you take me for? That'll come later. I'm going out to the cabin now to break the news to my sister. That's when we'll uncover the deed. I faked the signature on it last night after everybody had turned in. Even an expert wouldn't notice a difference.
You better be careful about telling Molly.
Careful? This is one thing I'm really going to enjoy.
You're a cool customer, I'll say that much for you, Dirk. And it took murder to bring it out.
I can see her face already when I tell her. All these years she spent with Dad while he worked the mine. How much good they'll do her now. It was Preston that found him, Mom.
I can't believe it. I waited and waited for him to come back. I thought maybe he stopped in the cafe or...
You know he never spent much time there.
No. It was always you. You were the one to spend time in the cafe.
I wasn't going to tell you this, Molly.
Tell me what?
Well, you see... Have you seen the deed for the mine lately?
What would I be doing with the deed? I guess it's up to you now to take care of it for us.
You don't understand.
What do you mean?
The last time I was up here, Dad turned the mine over to me. You can see it on the deed yourself.
What?
That's right.
I don't believe it. He wouldn't trust you with a poke of dust, let alone the clay pipe.
It's in writing. What's more, I'm taking the deed with me. This land and the cabin's mine now. I'm willing to give you enough gold to get back to the States, and that's all.
Dirk, how can you talk this way? Dad shot and killed, murdered. All you can think about is the mine. You never came near it while he lived. Get away from that drawer.
Take your hands off me. I said take your hands off me. I'm taking the deed.
I don't believe you. He didn't sign the mine to you. Oh, Dirk, please. Please, I know we never agreed with each other.
Oh. Now that the clay pipe's mine, you're changing your tune.
No. No, it isn't that, Dirk. But stay here. Stay here, please. At least until we find who murdered Dad.
I'm going back to town. And remember what I said. I'll see you get enough gold to get back to the States.
Oh, no. It can't be true. Can't be dead. What shall I do? Preston. Dirk said Sergeant Preston found him. The first thing tomorrow morning, I'll go to him.
But
Molly Malone saw Sergeant Preston sooner than she expected. Shortly after daybreak the next day, the Mountie's sled pulled up outside the cabin. He listened to the story the grief-stricken girl told and was silent when she finished.
Did you see the deed?
No. I tried to stop Dirk from taking it, but it was no use. He doesn't care about anything except gold.
Molly.
Yes?
Is this book...
That's Dad's journal. He made an entry in it every day. Started it when he first came up here. I was going through it last night, reading how he found the mine.
Does Dirk know about this journal?
Oh, he knows about it. He's probably forgotten all about it, though. Why?
Because I think I'll need your help. If my hunch is right, we may be able to trap the murderer. Go into town this afternoon. You'll have friends there who'll help you circulate the rumor. I could force a showdown, but I think this will be a better way.
That night, darkness obscured the faces of Dirk Malone and Max Simmons as they walked down the main street of Claiborne. Talking excitedly, Dirk occasionally threw glances back over his shoulder.
You've got the deed? I tell you, there's nothing to worry about.
I'm not taking any chances. If she gets that Monty with a journal and her story, he might get suspicious.
Much good it'll do him. You need proof. He can't pin a murder on... Is this where we turn?
Yeah. Now, I shall leave with Mrs. Fleming. I went over to Hannah McGavin's.
I get it. And Doc Fleming's at the cafe, huh?
I made sure of everything. Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's so dark I can't make out the doorknob.
Doorknob? We aren't taking chances on the door. There's a window over here. Yeah. Right here. Listen, I'll climb in here. Help me with this window, will you? Now, quiet now. Oh. That's enough. Give me your hand, Mac.
Yep. Right. The place is deserted.
Shut up. I got you in here to help me.
I can't see in the dark.
Stand still a minute or so till your eyes get used to it.
Where are you going?
Molly's things will be in the room next to this one. That's where we'll find that journal.
Why, you couldn't have thought of it before. I don't know. You had everything planned out. All there'd be to it would be getting the deed.
Yeah. And don't forget, if it hadn't been for that $10,000 I owe you, I wouldn't be prowling around here in the dark.
Oh, getting cold feet, huh? And you were the one who could commit a murder and do a girl out of a rich mine all in the same day. I should have known better than to get into this.
You're getting a third of the mine? Now shut up.
Where would you be likely to keep a book?
Ah, this is it.
You got it.
I never expected she'd leave it on top of the pack. Come on, let's get out of here before someone hears us.
I've heard all I need to convict you, Dirk. Put your hands up.
What?
You're under arrest in the name of the Queen.
Where'd he come from? Make a dash for the window.
No, you don't. Half for the King. The lantern. Doc, light that lantern.
Oh, get down. Get down.
Yeah, that's better. All right, King.
Well, I'll be... Sergeant, why don't you tell me what you was expecting?
Because I wasn't quite sure, Doc. That's why I waited. But you heard it all yourself.
I heard it all right. And as for you, Dirk Malone, you dirty yellow...
I didn't have anything to do with it. He fired the shot. He shot from ambush.
You double-crossed...
It's true, Sergeant. Listen to me. He forged Pat Malone's signature on that deed.
You're in this just as much as I am.
Put these handcuffs on them, Doc.
Gladly. I only wish mine was the pleasure of stringing them both up. But what made you suspect them in the first place?
Well, there were no tracks on the trail, so it was impossible to follow them. I had a hunch when Molly told me about the deed that Dirk was responsible for the murder. But when I saw the journal, I was sure of it. Even without examining the signature Dirk forged. If Pat Malone had turned the mine over to his son, he would have mentioned it in that journal. But he didn't. Instead, the pages are full of stories of Dirk's gambling, his losses, and his constant visits begging his father for money.
All right, you two, get along. It's jail for both of you. Poor Molly's got a heavy burden on her shoulders, but at least she'll have the satisfaction of knowing the man that shot her father will hang.
Yes, King, the case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Tuesday at this same time, originated in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bob Heitz speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Welcome back. Okay, so there's not anything to get into. Check out the show notes at otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave a voicemail, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Tomorrow's going to be an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.